Respect FM.
Always a pleasure to welcome Brother Johnny in Houston, Texas, the Thomas Edison of oil and gas. Brother Johnny!
great down here in New Orleans, home of the Final Four, Steve.
How do I always miss? It's a 50-50 shot. I mean, it really is. And then Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy. Mike in Naples, is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm going to back up to Chicago tomorrow for a couple of days, then right back down.
Ditka, Hall of Famer. All right, Johnny, we have no basketball coach. The buzz now is Brad Stevens said no. Shaka Smart has said no. John Gross, Ohio Bobcats, took his team to the Sweet 16. An 85-56 four-year record in Ohio, 34-30 in conference, might be the man, could be announced today or tomorrow. That's the buzz. We'll track it. Your thoughts?
Well, Steve, it's, I don't know what, it's political. It's political, Steve. It's like that DirecTV ad, you know. I say, don't vote for Barack Obama. Because if you vote for Barack Obama, you'll start apologizing to everybody, even the ones who said the chief was hostile and offensive, and you lose your mascot. And if you lose your mascot, nobody will want to coach your team, and you look silly. And if the University of Illinois looks silly, the whole state of Illinois looks silly, and we'll start to act silly. And, Mike, if we start to act silly, we'll elect governors who take all our money and end up in jail. And if your governors end up in jail, we'll all go broke. Don't go broke. Don't vote for Barack Obama. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't like the move firing coaching.
Pretty daggone good. I think honestly, John and Steve, I think the University of Illinois and its trustees and board of directors,
they're what now?
We made a lot of things, Stevie.
Mike?
Right in
mid darn thought. Okay, we'll call him back. But I just recapped here before we got you guys on that if you look at this thing from afar, you have trustees that didn't support Tim Beckman because he wasn't African American. You got a brand new president for at least 2 years, Bob Easter, good man. Well, nobody really knows the chancellor, wonderful woman. Nobody really knows her yet. You got Mike Thomas who was very aloof with the three coaches that he fired. So I don't know. And Tom Izzo's comments at the Big Ten for 5 minutes railing against the AD and this university does not help in the coaching fraternity world.
Well, it's just that there's turmoil, and you know, I thought Bruce Weber was a stabilizing force, and you got a lot going on already, as you pointed out. So that maybe, and then we're looking like A, you might get fired in a year, and B, we've got issues, Steve. Why doesn't anyone want to come to Illinois? That's a question I would have asked.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'm sure we'll get a good coach, and I'm supporting Mike Thomas in trying to help get a good athletic program. But I really think you have a lot of issues, and it starts with committing to putting sports as a priority, which really puts the university as a priority. And I think that's the discussion, which is, yes, you do have sports that really is the first face of the University of Illinois nationally. Is that right? I don't know. Steve, it's an academic institution first class. Should we depend on sports for a good first impression or a good image? Well, maybe you could say we shouldn't have to, but guess what? That's where it starts right now in our culture.
Yeah. All right, Mike is back with us. Mike, you back with us?
I'm back with you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, so you were saying Illinois has issues. Is that what you were alluding to?
No, I'm saying very simply, I think you have to, is a job that appealing? I mean, you have a couple guys or a small college that have a chance to move into the Big Ten, into one, which used to be the conference to get into and coach in, and they turn it down. So, I think sometimes you better turn around and look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, what are we doing wrong?
Well, I think that's what hurts, Johnny, is I look at Illinois and I think it's the best job in the world and everybody would be lucky to be here and all these other things, when I guess that's not the case.
Well, and I'll tell you, we talk about, you just keep on bringing up our mascot, the chief, but that's part of our image. And I'll tell you, from being outside of the state looking in, that is, we are laughing stocks on that. It doesn't make any sense, and we're still cheering for the guy. There's nobody there. And that's a symptom of some other problem that don't support a huge commitment to the athletic program. That's the problem. And I think it starts there. And I think if you just ignore that and just say, well, there were a couple people we think that thought they didn't like it. You know how many, every single one of us would be offended by something. Are you going to eliminate everything? Because you could. You could go down and eliminate the kitchen sink, the washing machine. You could, Mike, you could eliminate cars. A lot of people are offended by
John,
cars.
John, you're missing the point on this. It's all about political correctness. And these people are the biggest phonies in the world. It has nothing to do with a disgrace to the Indian. As a matter of fact, it's a respect for the Indian. You know, you can spin it any way you want to. But, you know, this is not anything derogatory toward the Indian race at all. But, hey, you know, if you're politically correct and you want to spin it that way, that's your problem.
Well, and I think part of the problem, too, Mike and Johnny, is that when you know, you have the NCAA in a teachable moment banning all the minor sports from hosting anything postseason, that's something. There's certainly something. But then good, intelligent people stand around and watch a Seminole Indian at Florida State ride in bareback with a flaming spear, and we have issues with that hypocrisy. What's going on?
Well, that is hypocrisy.
It definitely is hypocrisy. But evidently, more politically correct people live in Illinois than anywhere else.
Well, I think what, back to the topic, which is people turning down the coaching job, I think that it kind of signals that we have an anti-sports culture. And you don't want to bet everything in your career on in an area where that might have an anti-sports culture when there are 10 other schools that'll embrace it. So we are a pro-sports culture by a vast majority, but there's a strong anti-sports culture here, so you just ignore it. It's just like walking away from a fight. Don't pick a fight. Go somewhere else.
Well, it's the reality of it. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. If you just tuned in, John Gross is the hot name this morning, the Ohio Bobcat head coach that took the Bobcats to the Sweet 16 this year, lost to North Carolina Friday night. Might hear something today or tomorrow, but that's a name that's emanating everywhere is John Gross, head basketball coach. Supposedly they are in talks right now. Brad Stevens said no over the weekend, and Shaka Smart, of course, said no last week. All right. A very sensitive issue is Trayvon Martin. This is a young African-American walking home or walking to his father's fiance's gated community home in Florida when a neighborhood watch guy called police, 911, said, I've got somebody suspicious. The 911 caller said, please stop following. Next thing we know, the African-American in a hoodie is dead. Trayvon Martin is dead. There are protests. Even in Champaign, there are protests saying this is a hate crime. George Zimmerman, who's Hispanic, has been crying for days, according to reports, says he's not racist. No African-Americans except one came out and said, I know this guy. He's not a racist. He's got a broken nose and something on the back of his head where he was hit. So we don't know the whole story. The Black Panthers, meanwhile, have come out with a $10,000 bounty on George Zimmerman. We don't know the whole story here. It's a tragedy, but we don't know all the entire story yet.
Well, you know, and guys, that was a tragedy. That should have never happened. There's no question about it. But my God, I mean, and to have this kind of an uproar over something like that, I mean, these things happen in our society every day, where an individual, whether it be a Caucasian or a Black, is killed in the neighborhood by somebody. Now, what the guy did was absolutely, I'm agreeing, it was wrong. I mean, it looks. Nobody really knows the fact, first of all.
Right.
But it looked wrong. I mean, you can't judge a person by the way they look. If they have a hoodie on, they have a hoodie on. I mean, you know, a lot of people wear hoodies. I mean, I don't know the answer to this one, guys. I mean, it perplexes me and it bothers me. I see no reason for this kind of an uproar over something like that. Yeah, I understand somebody lost their life. People lose their lives every day at war or everything else. It's not always justified. But my God, to have this happen, and this is just a reason to protest, a reason to riot.
Well, I think it's a sign of an increased racial tension, no question about it. I think ironically, we all thought Obama would be the post-racial president. He's been the most racial president. You've got, you're Eric Holder. He's hired 150 people to go find racism. You go look for racism, Mike, you're going to find it. Because if you come in and look at me like I might be racist and you're watching me, I'll probably start acting like a racist because I'm going to resent that. And you say, well, you're resenting that because you don't like Latinos, do you? I said, where'd you get that idea? I saw you look at him. Yeah. That is the easiest thing in the world to trump up. And all you need to do is get some kind of a terse response, and boom, there it goes, boom. And I think there's been more of that in the last few years, if you want to know the truth. And I think this is a very kind of a knee-jerk, racist response. Clearly, if the guy's in a hoodie, how do you even know what race he is? No. I mean, you can't even see him. And then the other thing was, it was first announced, by the way, that he was killed by a white policeman. He's a Latino policeman. And I think that had something to do with getting it fired up.
Well, and Latino, he was just a neighborhood watchman. I mean, he wasn't even a police officer. And so he did call 911. He's called 911 49 times in the last year because he's walking around. They've had break-ins in that neighborhood. And he's walking around, he's calling 911 saying, hey, I see this guy. And the police said, are you following him? He said, yeah. I said, please stop. And then we don't know what happened after that, except that the guy does have a broken nose and a wound to the back of his head. So we don't know exactly what happened. But the bottom line is nobody's going to believe it anyway because there's no other witnesses. So it's a tragic event, no question. All right, 7:45, Brother Johnny Mike Ditka. Rick Santorum wins Louisiana. I want to play this clip from CBS. I wish you could see the expression of the reporter, but it was about Rick Santorum going off on the New York Times reporter regarding what he said about Mitt Romney. And he's being very hard on Mitt Romney, no question, but listen to this.
Easy win in Saturday's Louisiana primary. Santorum was campaigning in Wisconsin last night.
And that is where the trouble began after Santorum urged Republicans there not to vote for Mitt Romney.
Pick any other Republican in the country. He is the worst Republican in the country to put up against Barack Obama.
After the speech, New York Times reporter Jeff Zeleny asked Santorum about those comments. Santorum quickly became angry over the line of questioning.
You said that Mitt Romney is the worst Republican in the country. Is that true?
What speech did you listen to?
Just right here. You said he is the worst Republican.
Stop lying. I said he was the worst Republican to run on the issue of Obamacare, and that's what I was talking about. I have said uniquely, for every speech I give, I said he is uniquely disqualified to run against Barack Obama on the issue of health care. Would you guys quit distorting what I'm saying?
Do you think he's the worst Republican to
run against Barack Obama on the issue of health care because he fashioned the blueprint? I've been saying it in every speech. Quit distorting my words. If I see it, it's bull.
Okay, so Rick Santorum, Johnny, not happy with the line of questioning from the New York Times.
Well, it's just been, you know, they're trying to, you know, stir up something there, but it's part of the arena. But, yeah, I don't think he should be saying that. He doesn't need to say that anyway,
that
he's the worst to run against Obama because it's so easy to take. Mike, you got to be careful what you hand these guys, too. You know?
Well, you're right. And I mean, but he's trying to get a point across from his conservative point of view. And you're right. It's the wrong thing to say because all you do is give him ammunition. And they weren't trying to do anything but get him to say that Romney was the worst Republican. That's what they were trying to get him to say.
Right.
And he didn't
right.
say that. He said the one against him on health care.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Well,
I mean, it's crazy.
Remember when you were toying with the idea to run for U.S. Senate against a little-known state senator, Barack Obama? Johnny and I talked about it and said the media would try and get your goat. We'd have to surround you, Mike. We'd have to keep you from those guys.
Well, he could have won,
you know,
Stevie.
You know, it's foolish. I mean, when you get into public service like that, you are under the biggest microscope in the world. I mean, that's it. And, you know, now if you are under the side of the liberal side where they don't want to, if there's dirt, they don't want to find the dirt or they don't want to question you on certain issues, that's fine. But when the other media does that, that's conservative media, then they're called, well, racist, this and that and everything else. We got some major problems, guys, that aren't going to go away for a while. And it's interesting because I was watching Fox earlier this morning, and this whole thing, and there's been more racial problems since Obama's been in office than any other president. And why is this? I mean, I don't know. This is a guy that was going to bring everybody together.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'll tell you, though, Mike, just think if you'd run, you'd be president. Now I'm Stevie B. White House press secretary.
No, no. I would have passed up the presidency just for the commander-in-chief of the military.
There you go.
Yes, there you go.
All right.
You're right about that. Can you imagine having that job? Wow.
Well, all right, health care being discussed 3 full days, not full, but certainly segments of the day in front of the Supreme Court. Is it constitutional to require a citizen to buy health care to be in this country? How do you think it's going to be written here this week, Johnny?
I think it'll be upheld, and I always was lamenting they were suing because it was going to come up. Kind of a big win for Barack Obama.
You think? I don't know if it's going to make it. I think it'll be 5-4 against.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, Stevie.
Okay, all right. So who's the guy? Is it going to be Scalia or Kennedy?
Well, Kennedy's going to go uphold it, and the other four just want Obama to be elected. So, okay. And I'm not even sure that Rob – there's some precedent here. It's not that straightforward. It's to me, if you don't like Obamacare, then vote for whoever's running against Barack Obama, because they've all said they're going to repeal it. To throw it in the court is it was strategically, and it wasn't done strategically either. The states all objected, and they want an answer. But I think it'll work for the president in this case.
Mike, do you?
I kind of agree with John that it'll probably be upheld. I think when you look at that, I want to say one thing, though. I looked at that picture of the Supreme Court justices just today. There's a good point for term limits right there. Believe me. Come on. I mean, this is part of the problem in this country, my God. And you got to realize that these are just people with a law background making decisions that are going to profoundly affect whether our Constitution is constitutional or not. I mean, my God, I mean, is it right to force somebody that they have to buy insurance? I don't know. If it is, it is. I don't know.
All right, so...
One thing, Stevie, for sure, there's a clear opportunity, at least based on what the opponents are saying, that if you don't like it, you don't have to rely on the 9 justices. Just vote against Barack Obama.
Right. Yeah. Well, I say it'll go 5-4, calling it unconstitutional. I'll go against you two on that one. All right. Let's say the train to Las Vegas. I don't know if you've heard about this super train. They're trying to build between, I think, Victoriaville, California, which is south of L.A. by 100 miles to Las Vegas. The government apparently on the verge of loaning $5.9 billion for this. Of course, the company tied to Harry Reid. Now, if it were a Republican, would we hear more outcry?
Possibly.
Let me ask a question then. Why? Just why? Why do you need a train from Las Vegas to Victoriaville, California? You say, why? What's it going to do? What's the purpose of it?
It's supposed to be mass transit that'll help, I guess, I don't know what it'll do.
Well, bring people to Las Vegas to lose their money.
Mass transit from where? From there to Vegas? Come on, and back?
It's only a 4-hour drive from L.A. to Vegas. You got to go 2.5 down to get the train.
Foolish. This is one of Harry Reid's pipe dreams.
$5.9 billion.
People don't see through this stuff. They're crazy.
Yeah. $5.9 million. All right. The Afghan shootings, yet another tragedy. The victims of the Afghanistan shootings by the one military man. 50,000 goes to each person who lost somebody in a death. 11K for each wounded. Recipients in Afghanistan are being told it's cash from Barack Obama.
Well, whatever. That's just a shame. I don't know what you do. And, you know.
Well, let me tell you something right now. If you think you can buy the loyalty and the friendship of the those people over there, Afghanistan people, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're crazy. That guy who leads them is crazy. They take our help, and then they don't stand up for what's right, and that's bull. And why don't we walk away? That's my problem. Why don't we just walk away? Why do you say, well, the Al-Qaeda will get in there? Well, they're already in there anyway.
Yeah. All right, finally. The tiger is back. You see any of that, Mike?
He roared. He roared good. I tell you what, it's good for golf. No matter what anybody says, the critics, it's good for golf. He's a good person. Yeah, he's made some mistakes, and we all have. But he's good for golf, and he looks like he's got his game back.
Woo.
If that was any indication yesterday.
Well, let's see. I tell you what, he may be, you know, he may be ready to go on a roll, Steve. That'd be fun to watch.
Well, they're in Houston this week. I don't think Tiger's playing that. But Ernie Els, shoot, I'm kind of rooting for Ernie. He's not in the top 50 and is right now out of the Masters for the first time since 94, unless he can win at the Shell Houston Open this weekend.
Well, he played better.
You know, it's tough. I mean, you guys, I've been playing golf down here. Now, they're playing over there on the other coast, but the wind blowing down. It's beautiful weather, but it's windy. So you guys, it plays havoc with what you're doing. Believe me, I don't care who you are, how good you are. It makes you think when you got to hit a ball right to left or left to right with downwind or upwind, I mean, whatever.
And by the way, rocks and water. And by the way, I didn't see anybody in the leaderboard under 70. I saw a lot of 75s and 76s. It was playing tough. And they were rolling at a step of 13 to 14. That's just like glass tabletop.
Our greens down here are rolling or at least 13,
whoa.
I'll say that.
Wow.
Holy cow, that's a little frightening. But, Steve, before we go, don't forget, we have the Final Four coming into town here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
We're gearing up, and we got some pretty good basketball teams coming, I'll tell you that.
Well, you got your Final Four, Louisville and Kentucky, and then it's Ohio State and Kansas. So you only have one number one seed that made it all the way through, and New Orleans is going to be a fun town this weekend. By the way, you got to call Mary Henson now. She's waiting with your team.
Well, I talked to Mary, and we hope to see them this weekend, and they'll be in town. And I tell you what, it looks like a Bill Self's John Calipari rematch to me.
Ooh, that could be a good one. Of course, I think Kansas is really overachieved. I can't see anybody but Kentucky winning it, although, believe it or not, I am rooting for Ohio State, because since we did beat him for crying out loud.
Well, and Ohio State's good. They're all good. Actually, Kentucky's worried about Louisville. That's one of those in-state rivalries, and you got Rick Pitino.
Right. Hey, guys, we'll leave it there, but we'll talk on Friday, Johnny, when Final Four is in town. Mike, always a pleasure. Johnny, thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, hit him straight, Mike. Down in Naples, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, in New Orleans this morning on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Always a pleasure to have them on Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8:00.